This morning, I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 127. For the last several days now, I've been studying on this portion of Scripture, and this morning I felt the Lord would be pleased with me sharing with you from Psalm 127 on the godly home. I want us to quietly and very reverentially stand to our feet for the reading of the Scripture. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to the reading of his infallible word. Let's bow our heads and our hearts to the Lord for prayer. Father, as we bow before your throne again this Lord's Day morning, we thank you for the privilege that we've had so far to hear the Word of God taught in the Sunday school hour, to pray and to offer prayer unto thee, and praise as well as petitioning thee for our needs. Then we thank you for the privilege that we've had to sing the songs of Zion. Lord, we just thank you for all that thou hast done for us in saving us, putting us together as a church family. Lord, we thank you for, we realize that it's all of your grace and it's all of the power of the shed blood of Christ. And it's not of our doing. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning as we endeavor to look at this psalm. Will you not make it alive to us? Will you not speak to our hearts? Oh God, how we need to hear from heaven. And I beg thee, O Father, to fill me with the Spirit of God. Give me, dear Lord, I pray, the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in a season. Lord, if it be that there be one that needs correcting, may you give me wisdom. And even beyond the words that are spoken, may the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and speak conviction and correction. Lord, if there be those that need to be comforted, or those that, dear Lord, that just need to be encouraged and edified today, I beg you, God, that the Holy Spirit of God would so take the Word of God and the very service itself and minister to every heart. For certainly, Lord, we all need to be edified. Now, Father, I plead the blood of the Lamb over this service. I resist the enemy. I resist the demons of doubt and fear and confusion and temptation and sickness and wickedness in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do take authority over the enemy by thy grace and by the power of thy shed blood, and ask thee, God, to bind every foul, wicked spirit of hell that would seek to steal away the Word of God. May there be the sweet working of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Exalt and glorify yourself, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. First this morning, I want us to take just a few moments and go through these five verses of Psalm 127. And give you the meaning. I want to give you the meaning of these verses, and then we will proceed with the expositional study that I feel that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Oftentimes the old Puritan preachers and Spurgeon himself and others would take the verses of the text and do a little exegetical study, and then he'd go back and give an expositional treatise of that very portion of Scripture. This morning, as we look at Psalm 127, we're made aware that in the first two verses that the key word is the word vain. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And in verse 2 it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So we see the word vain is found three times in these two verses. Now certainly, the emphasis is upon the builder. He's talking about the Lord being the builder of the house. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I promise you that we're living in a generation and time when everyone has got his own idea about how to build a church. There's a how-to manual in just about every corner of the bookshop. But I point out to you, with all the promotion and with all that you might try to develop as far as a program is concerned, except that the Lord build the church, there will not be one built. In fact, it's the Lord that does the building. Jesus said, I will build my church. And without the Lord doing the building, and our promoting and our gimmicking and everything else trying to develop a program, as one preacher said, it's going to take a lot of Kool-Aid and a lot of cookies to build anything that looks like or resembles a church. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. You may have the machinery, and you may take a lot of Kool-Aid and a lot of cookies and build a crowd, but you'll never build a church. Only Christ Jesus can build the church. But I point out to you, in these verses we see that he is also saying that the Lord must build the house or the home. All too often, we set it in our hearts and in our minds that we're going to build a home, or we're going to build a house. But I got news for you, unless the Lord is the author of it, you will be wasting your time vainly. Here we see in the Scriptures that he said they labor in vain. He goes on to say in these verses that they watch in vain. The laboring is not wrong. If you build a home for the glory of God, you're going to have to labor. If you build a home that exalts and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to watch. But I point out to you, laboring and watching, though you may do in the energy of the flesh, will amount to nothing. It'll all be vain unless the Lord is in it. And here in these verses, he goes on to say, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He says there are individuals that rise up early to see to it that this laboring and this work is carried on. There are those that rise up early to make sure that they're watching. He said there are those that rise up early and stay up late to make sure that they're laboring and watching concerning their home. But I got news for you. All the sorrows that you may bring upon yourself and bring affliction upon yourself in, without the touch of God and without the power and the grace of God upon your home, it'll all be in vain. Now, verses 3, 4, and 5, he talks about the blessing of the home. If we're not careful, we'll get it in our minds that the blessing of the home is the house. If we're not careful, we'll get it in our minds that the blessing of the home is our security materially. Oh, we're secure. We're ready to face tomorrow. There are some enemies that all the armies of the world cannot keep out. Sickness, death, amen. Except the Lord keep the house. They which labor and watch in vain. But I think that we not only see in this portion of Scripture the builder, the Lord, but we see the building blocks of the home. Children. He says in verses 3, 4, and 5, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." I have been made to worship these days by the last part of that verse, "and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Somebody said, "Well, I can build a home." You can only build a house. God gives the children. And a home is not really a home until there's children in the home. Sad is it upon the heart of that man or woman that desired to have children, and they cannot have children. Yet I point out to you that God is pointing out to us that the home itself is more than houses and security. The home is blessed of God with building blocks. And the building blocks are children, babies. There's never been a young lady that's ever matured into maturity that did not want to have children. That's natural. That's right. But I want to point out to you, she cannot bear children except that God reward her. You may build your house, and you may build your security, and you may build your bank account, but you can't have children without the Lord. They're God's reward. They're God's blessing. And how foolish we are to focus in on materialism and focus in upon a house and upon land and materialism when the blessing is the child. Many of you are burning the midnight oil trying to watch and trying to labor. You're rising early trying to watch and labor, not for your children's sake, but for your selfish desires. To fulfill your own desires. That you can have your little kingdom. But what if a man gaineth the whole world and loseth his soul? Yea, even better, what if a man gain the whole world and lose his children's soul? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. He said, we have a responsibility. As a mighty archer would take the arrows in his hand and direct the direction with his bow, he would pull the string and let the arrow fly. So we have a responsibility to point our children in the direction of God. Some folk think of it as labor. Make their kids miserable in the process. Kill their kid. They run from God and everything associated with God because they say, if this is Christianity, I don't want any part of it. Because the daddy has never learned, verse 5, happy is the man. A daddy that thinks he is a dictator loses all concept of what the Bible teaches concerning rearing children. It's a happy lot. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. He just has a whole pack of them. I'm not sure, but what we're missing in this generation. We have listened to the humanists tell us that we are overpopulating the world. There's never been a greater lie out of hell than that statement. If we took everyone in the United States of America, we could put them in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, side by side with one another, and there's plenty of land left over. Most of us do not realize how much property we really have. You say, Brother David, the rest of the world is populated. Yes, and they're being populated with men and women that are going after ways of heathenism. I'm not sure, but what we don't need a revival, a Holy Ghost revival in Christians looking to God to support the heritage of the Lord and just have a whole quiver full. I didn't say that to John Suttles. I said that to everybody else. I didn't say that to Brother Ted Floyd either. Brother Ted said, not me either, brother. Some of these folk have 4 and 5. Remember some time ago, Brother Roger McCrum corresponding with me, and Brother McCrum said, Pastor David, I'd just been with him, and his wife had delivered their second child. And he wrote me and said, Pastor David, we've done it again. We're expecting a third child. Please write me and tell me what a quiver full is. And I searched the scriptures and I found out that a quiver full is 5 or more. And I wrote him back and I said, it's at least 5. But I said, nowhere in the Word of God does it say to have them the first 3 years or 5 years of your marriage. But the scriptures are clear here that we have a responsibility as individuals to rear our children and to point them in the right direction. And here is an opportunity to build homes for the glory of God. The building blocks of homes are our children. He goes on to say, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Literally, the Hebrew says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall subdue the enemies in the gates. I really believe that God wants us to work on our homes. We're living in days of apostasy and wickedness. And there's an all-out attack upon the home like there never has been. This attack upon the home is seen in the abortion mills. Let me just share this to you. If you've suffered through an abortion, God forgives sin and God grants you to forgive you yourself of your own sin. But let me remind you, there are repercussions to be had forever for that dear lady that would take her own child's life. That's not natural. The body chemistry starts preparing for a child. Once that child is conceived, everything in that lady's body begins to prepare for a birth. And when you cut it short and abort the baby, it throws the whole body chemistry out of kilter. That's the reason they wind up with so many emotional problems. Someone has said, as the home goes, so goes the nation. I agree, but I want to go a step further. As the home goes, so goes the church. Let's get a little closer. As the homes of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church go, so goes our fellowship. The church will be as strong as her families are strong. And I would to God that God would give us men at Mount Pisgah Church and not sissies. Men with a backbone like a saw log that would stand up for what's right. And especially standing upon the principles that are laid down in the Word of God. But at the same time would have the tenderness of a mother. You say, oh, you can't have that. The only reason you can't have it is you're not spirit-filled. I hear a lot of complaints about the husbands fussing about their wives being in subjection. And no doubt there are some problems. But I got news for you, dear sir. The reason most women are not in subjection, they've never had a husband to love them like Christ loved His church and gave Himself for. What's wrong with being a little tender? The vain way of building a home is doing all the labor that's necessary. Watching like you ought to watch, and being concerned like you ought to be concerned, but laboring and watching and caring in the energy of the flesh and for your own self-esteem rather than the Lord building your home. Working, laboring. I know men that labor, they'll miss the house of God on Sunday to make sure that they are laboring to bring in what they call bread. The Bible very clearly teaches us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we're not careful, we will be caught up in the workforce and in the labor force. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. And yet, in all of our laboring, we will be wasting it all in vanity because we'll be losing the most important thing, and that is our children and our home. Laboring. I'm going to tell you what. It's going to take a lot of long hours, sir. A lot of hard work. Try to do the work of God without God. In fact, when it's all over with and you spent your whole life working your hands to the bones and you talk about how you've been faithful to your family and the most important thing of all is the Lord and you've left Him out, it'll be too late because you'll have burnt your midnight oil and arose early in the morning and worked your hands to the bone and have nothing to show. Some of you are going to watch. I've been pastoring now 9 years. This day, 9 years I've been the pastor today, Mount Pisgah Church. I'd even forgotten about it. Y'all didn't think you'd live 9 years with me, did you? Be honest with you, I didn't think I'd live with you 9 either. But you know, as I'm thinking about all the counseling that I've done in these years, I've dealt with some pretty weird situations. Some of them came through and my counsel just didn't hit their backboard just right. They ricocheted off. They went on out another door. But some have listened and received help. You say, well, Brother David, how in the world do you know? All I know is what the Word of God says. And I just go precept upon precept, line upon line. It works. I counseled with a dear man some years ago. Been a long time ago.
And he had his wife in such a precarious state. I mean, she was pitiful. He'd go out, and she'd drive into the driveway, check the mileage. Keep a record of every mile. She went to the grocery store, she came back in, he'd get his pen back out, check the log again. You know what he told her and told me? I'm trying to make sure that we're frugal. We don't waste any gas. You know what the dear fellow was doing? Putting his dear wife in prison. She couldn't even breathe. Now, I'm going to tell you what, dear sir, you can watch all you want to, but if you don't let the Lord reign in your life, and let the Lord reign in your wife's life, and let the Lord reign in your children's life, and let the Lord reign in your home, you are watching in vain. This dear lady sat across the desk from me with tears streaming down her face. Her husband sitting there, and he said, "Well, I want to keep her in subjection. I like to die." I said, "Dear sir, she needs to be in subjection. I agree. But how long has it been since you've told her that you love her and mean it?" "Well, bless God, I bring in the taters every Sunday or every week. Don't she know I love her?" "No, she don't know you love her. We got a fine house, and our kids are going to private school." It makes me want to vomit. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying to us?" I'm saying that we're missing the whole thing when we try to watch, and we try to work, and we try as individuals to worry about our families without giving them to God. It is vain to rise up early, dear sir. It is vain to sit up late. Boy, I'm tending to my family. We were to tend to the affairs of God like we attend to our own little empire. Needless to say that in time, the dear couple that I was counseling with wound up separating. The dear man said to me, "She never would get in subjection." And when the whole truth of the matter was finalized, he drove her away. You say, was it right that she left? No, I'm not condoning her wrong either. But I want to point out to you, a lot of times we bring our own problems upon ourselves and we wonder why we're in the trouble we're in. I don't understand. Then I've counseled with dear ladies that had the opposite problem. They just wanted everything they thought. They couldn't handle it. I don't know why I'm digging in on all these things, but I know God said preach it, and I'm on target this morning. Now, I'm saying this to you in love this morning because I think it's time to say it and the right time. But we in this generation have lived on plastic credit until we can't even as individuals honestly say that we have anything paid for. James warns us. He says, don't say, "Now tomorrow I'm going to rise and go to the market and buy and sell. Get gain." He said, "For your life is but a vapor." You're not promised a moment's what James is saying. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. Live within today's means. Christmas is coming around the corner. And some of you have just barely, if you've done that, got last Christmas paid for. And I suggest to you that you consider that this is a great divider in the home. You be cautious about buying Christmas. She wants you, dear lady. You say, "Well, I'm not so sure about that, Pastor. I know deep down that you don't really care to have the thing." You'd much rather have him. And it works the other way. And I don't know of how many dear wives mama their husband. His mother. Of course, some husbands want it. They never have been spineless. They never have had a spine to stand up and do right. They want somebody kind of mother. Then there's some husbands that treat their wives like children. Well, friend, I got news for you. There's not going to be a happy home, and there's not going to be building blocks. What you're doing is you're wasting building materials through your own display and your own example. Your children are building blocks. You say, well, I made a mess of my life. But let me share with you, you don't have to go on with the testimony of a messed up life and a messed up home. It's right for you to love your husband and for you to be in subjection to your husband. It's right for your husband to be the head of the home and to love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. It's right. No, what we want to do is we want to just kind of do it ourselves. The vain way. Doing it without the Lord. Working. Laboring. Rising early. Stay up late. Going to see to it that this thing works. Friend, you're wasting your time. The last part of that verse is what's blessed. Look at it. In verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. To eat the bread of sorrow. I know of mamas and daddies that work their hands to the bone to do without. To see that their family has. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But what they do is give material things to their children. And they don't give them spiritual things. I know of daddies that will forsake the house of God. They'll come one time on Sunday morning. Or one time, you know, they'll come Sunday but won't come Wednesday night. I know mothers same way. And they say, I'm going to give my kids the best they can have. Well, you're not giving them the best they can have. The best they can have is the Lord. The best they can have is you in the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of the revival meeting. The best they can have is a daddy and a mama that will kneel at their bedside and cry out to God for their souls. The best they can have is a daddy and a mother that will sit around the dinner table and read the Word of God and sing hymns together and talk about the Lord rather than sitting up late and rising up early to make some more money. I want my son to have a good education. Best education you can give him is to turn him to the truth of the Word of God. Some of you, God bless your hearts. You're so grateful to be a part of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and I'm so grateful you're a part of it. But you know what you're doing? You don't even know it, but you're allowing the devils of hell to put you into a tither over your responsibility in this thing of the home, and you're not letting God do it, and you are wearing yourself out. Because look at the last part of verse 2. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. The Lord Jesus would be in the storm. And a bow was tossed to and fro. And all the disciples were looking around frantic at the storm. And the Lord Jesus was laying up in the bow of the ship sound asleep. Some of you are trying to buy your children an education. You're trying to build up the security. These are going to be hard times. Well, I got news for you. When the hard times come, your dollar won't be worth anything. That's what our problem is. Oh, we're going to have a bank account. Will God help you whenever they change a currency? You say, Brother David, what's going to happen in the storms of the adversities and drugs and all kinds of education?
educational problems, the humanism that's flooding the market, and we see it everywhere, all kinds of wickedness everywhere, witchcraft and everything else. What are we going to do?
We're going to rest in the storm. Because we know we've trusted our kids to God.
We're doing not this that's just our responsibility of laboring with our hands to provide for our children, but we're seeing that they're provided for us spiritually.
Amen. Just get into the fact that, praise God, I've got a God that's bigger than the circumstances. It's not a matter of my labor, no, my hands are worn to the bone, but it's a matter of my children getting through to God, and my having the power of the Holy Ghost of God upon me, and my having the power of God upon my family. Boy, you can rest when you know your children know God, and they've been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they've been taught the Scriptures, and they've been taught how you, as a child of God, have a heart for prayer and for the Word of God and holiness and cleanliness and the things of God. You say, well, I've done all I can do. Well, that's all you have to do. If you're a child of God, if you've done all you can do for them, and you've lived an example before them more important than what you're showing them. These are the rules. Do what I say rather than what I do. God help your wretched heart. It's not a matter. It is not a matter of our telling them, do what the book says. Do what the preacher says. It's a matter of our being individuals that love God with all of our heart and with all of our mind, and we let God use us to raise up a home to the glory of God. God help us. Amen. Oh, I just believe some of you daddies could learn to rest if you'd be the example before the Lord. Some of you mothers could learn to rest. Storm. You just knew you were leading a spirit-filled life, that you're faithful in prayer and dedication unto God, and you're living for God in heart and in deed and in action, and you're submitted to your own husband as unto the Lord, and as a wife, you find a husband that loves you because he's found his place in loving you. Husband, let me remind you, you can love your wife into doing a lot more than you can demand of her. I don't like that kind of preaching. Praise God, I don't like you're not liking this kind of preaching.
There's a vain way. And the builder is the Lord.
But when the Lord builds a house, it will stand.
In Genesis 11, we have the record of those that built the Tower of Babel. And as they started to build the tower, they said, we will build us a city, and we will build us a tower into the heavens.
And they started building, making bricks and slime and building them a tower and city.
And God said, we will go down and confuse their languages.
Their language. They'll stop this building and I'll destroy it. God came down and the building hauled it. You build your little tower. You build your little city. You just keep on putting a brick and a mortar to it, and I promise you that when you as an individual wind up in the end, you'll find out that God says this for nothing.
It's all going to come tumbling down on you, and you're going to wind up sick at heart. Because you missed the very heart of what God has been trying to say and do for you.
The Lord is the builder, but the building blocks are babies. I like that, don't you? Babies, building blocks. Every time there's a little girl born into your home, there's a potential mother to mother babies after the ways of God.
Every time a little boy is born into that house, here's a potential Christian leader. evangelist, a missionary, a Christian lawyer, a Christian businessman. So how in the world will that ever come about? Because you're more concerned about building character in their life. You're concerned about building a life for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ than you are building a bank account and an inheritance to leave to them. Oh, I'm going to leave them. So what have you left to someone if you leave it to a prodigal son? Well, I'm going to give you this one verse, a couple of verses out of, well, maybe it's more than two or three verses out of Titus chapter 2. And then I'll pick up here tonight and we'll talk about the building blocks. Titus chapter 2. He said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You say, Pastor David, we like a sound doctrine. We like sound doctrine. We like healthy doctrine. Praise God, we like good, sound, wholesome doctrine. Boy, I do too. Let's look what it does. This is sound doctrine, he said, that the aged men be sober. That means to be of a sound mind. Grave. That means to be weighty and not frivolous. Temperate means to have self-control. Sound in faith. They know what they believe and why they believe it. In charity. In love. In patience. Boy, this is a virtue missing in most daddy's lives. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness or holy women, not false accusers. That means gossipers. Not given to much wine. Well, let me share this with you. We are living in a generation that lives off of medicine. We've got to have our aspirin. We've got to have our Tylenol. We've got to have our painkillers. Valium in the works. Now, I point out to you that I believe that's what he's talking about right here. Medicable. This that's medication, wine. Not like you take, drink a liquor. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now tonight, the Lord willing, I'll pick up here and we'll deal with building babies, the building blocks of the home. The responsibility of the husband, the responsibility of the wife, the responsibility of the children in the home. Don't you miss tonight. You be in place. I'll try my best to have my other barrel loaded tonight. God forbid. God forbid that we pour our lives into building what we think is a home and lose what God is trying to say to us, the heritage of the Lord with our children. Some of you daddies, some of you mamas, sitting on the sound of my voice, you're pouring out your life trying to buy things, and build up things so we can. You better be planting the seed of the good faith, word of faith in their hearts, your children's heart, in your wife's heart, in your husband's. We better be building a home. That only can seal a home together, love. And obedience. Submission. God, open our blinded eyes to see how we have abused our wives and our husbands
and our children. Some of you husbands, why don't you just quit being the barker? You know, the bark the orders. And be a lover. If the courtship's gone out of your marriage, you're in trouble. You say, I gotta court her all the rest of my life? Yes, sir. Till both of you go to the grave or one or the other. If the courtship has gone out of your home, you are not living according to the biblical principles of husbands loving their wives. Why, there's times in your day, you don't have to go out and spend a fortune on her to tell her you love her. Man, a dozen roses these days are ridiculous. But you can buy her one. One's a symbol of love. Just buy her one rose. You don't have to go out and burn up plastic credit. Just arrange it so you can see to it that you're with her and listen to her. You know, I know some men that's so smart. They got all the answers, and their dear wife just cannot put in a word edgewise. Now, I'm not for women running the home, but I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes the women got more sense than the men. Notice some of these ladies question that, but most of them didn't. Well, God just burned this in my heart. Boy, about 2 weeks ago, on Saturday morning, I gave a little sermonette on the same subject matter just to the men. Men, you go home, love your wives. Praise God. You ladies, you want them to love you, you be in submission to them. And I want to go on and point out to you, husbands, if you want them to be in submission to you, love them. Love on them. Whisper sweet nothings in their ears. They still like you. You say, oh, preacher, you're silly. Maybe. What I'm sharing with you may be the very fragrance that's needed in your home to make it a sweet-smelling sacrifice in the nostrils of God. And you be in service tonight. We'll pick up with it. Father, take now the word of God. Give us men of steel and men of velvet. We don't need little manicured puppets. But we do need, God, some men full of the Holy Spirit with a strong will to serve God and a tender heart for their dear wife and their children. Jesus' precious name, I pray that you'll let this be granted to Mount Pisgah Baptist Church families. Amen.